All right, so I've been watching closely and anxiously the latest skirmishes in the decades old, maybe 100 years old, conflict between India and Pakistan. And so, you know, a bit of history on that. I don't have a lot of areas of history where I really dug in deep, but one of them is the life and work of Mahatma Gandhi and the establishment of Pakistan as an independent state. Remember, Pakistan and Bangladesh were originally East and West Pakistan, and they were carved out of India, much to the utter dismay of Gandhi and other folks who wanted to see India remain one country. And it really goes back to Britain again. I'm actually going to say something nice about Britain at some point, but I look at what they've done throughout the world. It is terrible. I mean, there was a conflict not too long before Gandhi was born, just the previous decade. He was born in 1869. And prior to that, the British had put down a rebellion. And, out of that victory came their idea about creating tension between Hindus and Muslims. And that didn't get really bad until, the mid part of the next century, until the 1930s, 40s. Because, if India had actually become independent at the same time that Ireland did, 1920, 22, you might not have seen a partition of the country. And you might not have seen all this continuing, ongoing struggle. Because, as Gandhi wrote about in his autobiography, Hindus and Muslims lived in peace in Kathiawar, the part of India that he was from. They got along great. And even leading up to independence, there were plenty of opportunities where Hindus and Muslims were working together. That's all water over the dam at this point, because right now we have intense conflict between the two countries. And the partition of India was a horrible mess. I mean, 3.2 million people died. And so, a lot of that hardship is still with people. And it's only gotten worse. And of course, Kashmir and Jammu, the two provinces in the northwestern part of the country. India controls what, 55% of that area? Pakistan controls about 30%. Interestingly, China controls about 15%. Now, most of the population of those two provinces is Muslim. And it's a complicated mess at this point because of all the history that's transpired. Again, a lot of it leading back to Britain creating that divide and conquer situation, again, like they did in Ireland between Protestants and Catholics, like they've done in the Middle East between Israel and Palestine. All of that, that the seeds of that conflict have a lot to do with more than just Britain. So the current conflict, on April 22nd, there was a group of militants associated presumably with the Muslim community or Pakistan. They opened fire on tourists in Kashmir, killing, what, 25 Indians and one Nepalese citizen. So Pakistan, India blamed Pakistan, but Pakistan said, no, it wasn't us. But that didn't stop India from responding militarily with strikes inside Pakistan, inside areas controlled by Pakistan. That went back and forth and was only going to get worse. And, here we got two nuclear armed nations here that hate each other. And one of them, India, has 180 nuclear weapons. Pakistan has 170 nuclear weapons. And with this thing beginning to escalate, it looked very concerning. Of course, J.D. Vance said, yeah, we want nothing to do with that place. Fortunately, and probably embarrassingly for him, President Trump and Marco Rubio did step in along with leaders of Saudi Arabia and Great Britain. Thank you for that. Maybe Turkey. It's hard to say how many countries were involved, but the U.S. was definitely involved in helping to step these countries back from the brink because it was heading toward an all-out conflict between two nuclear-powered nations. So, again, I will give credit where credit is due, and I give Trump and Rubio some credit for helping to make that happen. Even though we've got that ceasefire in place, there have been skirmishes, and that may continue. I mean, just because governments declare that they're not going to, throw bombs at each other anymore doesn't mean there won't be individuals or small radical groups that do that. I mean, we certainly saw that back in 1947 when leading up to the partition, there were radicals among the, both the Hindu and Muslim communities that were at each other's throats, despite whatever the governments were saying, despite whatever Mahatma Gandhi was saying. And right now, it's the same thing. We've got governments have agreed to a ceasefire, and yet there may still be these skirmishes. And let's hope that those don't lead to a resuming of conflict. So, I my hat is off to the second most powerful American in the world, Donald Trump. And no, the most powerful American in the world is not Elon Musk, if you guessed that. It is now Pope Leo XIV. So Sunday, yesterday, the day before we're taping this program, the Pope's first address as Pope, it was at Vatican Square, he made an urgent plea for peace. One of the stories I saw said that he spoke in fluent Italian, and I know there are American journalists, like with Newsmax, who find that appalling that he won't speak in English in Italy, okay? Speaking in fluent Italian, Pope Leo recalled, quote, the immense tragedy of the Second World War, and he urged world leaders not to allow another one to shatter civilization, as it certainly would. He said, quote, I appeal to the powerful of the world by repeating these ever-relevant words, never again war. Beyond that, Leo addressed several global conflicts. He said he welcomed the recent announcement of a ceasefire between India and Pakistan, and he hoped that through upcoming negotiations, a lasting agreement may soon be reached. He appealed for negotiations to reach an authentic, just, and lasting peace in Ukraine, adding that he carries in his heart the suffering of the beloved people of Ukraine. Maybe that's heading in the right direction as well. I mean, there's no way it doesn't end. It's not going to end great for Ukraine, no matter how this pans out. But it'd be great if it ended and there was an end to the destruction of lives, of property, of the land, and an end to a conflict involving, again, a nuclear-armed nation. And whereas, again, India and Pakistan have 170, 180 between them, or each, rather, the Russia has about, what, 6,000 or 7,000 nuclear weapons? So, yeah, we've got to get beyond this. The Pope also said he was profoundly saddened by the war in Gaza, calling for an immediate end to the fighting there. He says, quote, I am deeply pained by what is happening. Let the fighting cease immediately. Let humanitarian aid be provided to the exhausted civilian population, and may all hostages be released. I mean, these are not empty words, and this is, again, the most powerful American in the world. Yeah, and I'm thrilled to see him using his first opportunity as Pope to make this emphatic call for peace. And again, especially at a time when the world is equipped with nuclear weapons that are it's unimaginable the amount of destruction that could be had at the push of a button. Anyway, so let's keep that conversation going. We really are now a world where war makes no sense. If it ever did at all, it certainly makes no sense now.